This is the audio recording to go with the Bone Healthy class plan. And really is to help those clients that come to us with osteoporosis or osteopenia. And we are seeing more and more clients who have been diagnosed with this. So it is handy to always have these sort of things in your back pocket, I think. Firstly, I am going to be launching in the new year the Bone Health webinar series. As I'm not running the Bone Health workshop next year, I thought instead what I'd do is offer it to you as a webinar series and with class recordings. So that will be available if you do want to look deeper into this. One of the first things I want to say as well is that you should always be led by what the medical advice has been given to that client. So, for example, I myself have osteopenia, but I can do loaded flexion, and there's no problem with that. And that's due to the state of my health, my posture, and my technique. Some people might argue with that, but yeah, so I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, as a general broad guideline, if somebody does come into our class with osteopenia or osteoporosis, we try to avoid loaded flexion. But one of the things I want you to try and get your mind around is don't think, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Think instead, what can I really add to these classes to help really improve bone health? And this will actually apply to all your class. So it's a really nice adaptations and modifications that you can give that really try and promote bone health rather than have that sort of negative thought of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with them? I can't do this, I can't do that. So really this class plan is just sort of like a starting base that you can then consider other things from. So really what we need to look at when we're working with clients with osteoporosis or osteopenia is that we really want to promote resistance work. We want to promote weight bearing. We want to promote impact work, and again, this will be discussed much more in the webinars. So, and we also really need to promote extension work and strengthening through the extensors and so on. We need to think about axial elongation, so really encouraging space up through the whole body. And we want, yeah, to keep that thought into the back line of the body. So I've chosen a class where you could use a Dynaband to do the work, you could use weighted balls, you could use some dumbbells. So you're gonna grab hold of those. And we're gonna start off just, the first thing I've put down is nose circles. And this is where you've got the client lying on their backs and they've got a weighted ball under the back of the head. And what I really want you to focus on here, this goes back to the instructor only class I did on the neck, is that you're looking to find the natural curve of the cervical spine. So you're not looking to jam the chin in. I want you to really focus on finding that beautiful natural curve where the sort of chin's vertically going up towards the ceiling and the eye line straight up to the ceiling. So you've got that really, really nice curve in the neck. And as I sort of talked about in the neck classes, often we misuse the neck. We tend to jam the chin in and look for stability from the neck to do the moves rather than using the center. So throughout the class, I really want you to think of that. So you're gonna start off just finding that lovely natural curve, and then you're slowly gonna draw small circles with the nose to begin to mobilize the neck. And you always imagine that you're drawing a circle the size of a 2p piece, so really small, and you do it in both directions. Then bring the head back to that really nice natural curve position, and you're very gently just gonna press the back of the head into the ball. So applying just that little bit of pressure that will really encourage an isometric contraction to come into the neck muscles, to holding it into that lovely natural curved position. From there, we're then going to go into your TikTok. We're still lying on your back. We're going to take the arms out to the sides. You can take the weighted ball away from under the head now. Arms are out by the sides and your palms are up. Right leg stretched long along the floor with the foot flexed and the left knee's bent above the hip. Okay, slightly in of the hip. And then as we inhale, we take the knee across the midline. As you exhale, you bring it back Inhale, we take it out of the midline, and exhale, return. And as you're doing this, I want you to have a little bit of pressure into the arms to really encourage the back line of the body to really keep active. So even though obviously we're working into a little bit of movement of the pelvis, so a little bit of rotation work, so as the knee goes across, if they can control where the rib cage is, then that hip can lift slightly. So as the left knee goes across the midline, the left hip will slightly lift, but you don't want the rib cage to lift. So you really want to encourage that pressure into the arms, pressure into the rib cage to just take that movement over. And it's a very light pressure. Don't think you're pushing down into the floor. It's very light. But what it does is it encourages the stability through the body, but also brings the thought process into the back line of the body. Obviously, you've got that right leg extended and pushing out through the heel. So again, you're feeling that work into the back line of the leg. Obviously, we then change sides. We then go into your 100. So we're lying on our back, arms down by the sides. Again, this time the palms are down, and we're going to draw the knees in off the hips. Then what you're going to do is a little bit of pressure into the floor as you exhale and extend one leg away. And really think about pushing down into the floor, again with the arms, the whole back line of the arms, and that encourages that lovely connection across the back of the body. So breathing out for 5 as we straighten the leg, breathing in for 5 as it comes back. And then breathing out for 5, we straighten the other leg, and breathing in for 5, we go back. And obviously you do that till you get to your 100. And the whole time we're pressing down as we breathe out, and we're releasing as we breathe in. So it's just like your normal 100, focusing on the breath, but the head's not lifted. But we're finding the connection to the center by that little downward pressure of the arms. From there, we take it into your shoulder bridge. Now here, again, what we're thinking about is pressure into the hands and the feet. And then as we inhale, we're going to press down into the arms and let the rib cage lift slightly. So imagine you're broadening the collarbones, spinning the arm bones out slightly, and you'll just find that little bit of thoracic lift. And then as you breathe out, we hinge up into the bridge, into the long line of the bridge. Then as we breathe in while we're in the bridge, we press into the arms and get that thoracic spine to lift a little bit more. And then breathing out, we're going to flatten and bring ourselves back down. Okay, so again, what we do is we breathe in, we press down into the arms, the chest will extend slightly. And then as we exhale, we hinge up through the hips, press up into the bridge. Inhale, press into the arms and get a little bit more thoracic extension. And exhale, lower back down. We can then add in toe lifts. So not heel lifts, but toe lifts. So when you're up in the bridge, you lift the ball of the foot up and you'll find the pressure and you place the pressure into the heels. This will really connect into the back line of the body. It really emphasizes that back line connection. So it could go breathe in, we press down into the arms, we lift the rib cage. Exhale, open the hips and press up into your bridge. Inhale, lift the toes up and find that real connection there. Exhale, lower the toes. Inhale, lift the toes up. Exhale, lower the toes, and so on. And then you can come back down. So you can play with that. We then come into the first section of our side lying series. Now, this is going to focus on stability. So what we're going to do is we're going to come into a side lying position and the bottom knee is bent up at 90 degrees. Okay, and then the top leg is lengthened away in line with the body, and you're holding one of the weighted balls or your weight up to the ceiling. Then as you lift the top leg up, the ball lowers, so they both lower and lift towards each other. So you like bring them together and then they open back out. And again, we bring them together and they open back out. Okay, so you could say do 8 of those. Then bringing the ball back up towards the ceiling, the leg back in line with the body, we're going to kick the leg forwards and draw it back. And we kick the leg forwards and we draw it back. And we have to keep the ball still, holding it there, and that will really show us that the rib cage stays lovely and connected and stable. Obviously do that on both sides, and then we come into the arm series. So we're going to bring ourselves to kneeling up, and you may want to put a towel underneath the knees. Okay, and oh, by the way, I should go back. In the side lying series, what you might want to do is make sure they have a cushion underneath their rib cage, because one of the problems that we have with osteoporosis is there's two types of fractures that can occur, and one of them is where the rib cage fractures. So that could just be something as easy as hitting off a table or putting pressure into the ribs. So what you just need to make sure is that you pad out under the rib cage. Okay. So going back to this, so into our arm series. So we come to kneeling up, holding on to the weighted balls. Arms are out to the sides. Really focus on pressing with the hip extensors to get that lovely openness at the front of the hips, and focus on that axial elongation all the way up out of the body. So you're really thinking about lifting the ribs up away from the pelvis. Take the arms out to the sides and we just go into hugs. So we breathe in and the arms come forwards, breathing out and they open up behind us. And exhale, we flex forwards. We take the arms forward, sorry, inhale, come back. The spine doesn't change position. The spine stays completely stable. And this move really is to encourage the breath to go into the back of the rib cage. We then take the arms out in front of us and the arms are parallel to the floor. And then we're just going to do a bicep curl. Now, Pilates bicep curl, the elbow doesn't drop with the curl. So the upper arm stays constantly parallel to the floor. And then the final arm series is we just take it into large circles. Okay, and you can take them in both directions. But I would always circle forwards first and then circle out the second part, so that we finish with the shoulders and chest being open. We then bring them down to the second lot of side lying, and this is where we've got a strength focus. So we're back into our side lying position with the bottom knee bent up at 90 degrees, top leg at 90 degrees as well, with a weighted ball behind the knee. Now, that weighted ball behind the knee is great because, first of all, it adds a little bit more resistance to the hip extension. But what it also does is you have to grip the ball. So they have to keep a good connection down that back line of the body and engagement, you know, into the hamstrings there. So we keep that holding onto the ball. And then what we're going to do is, as we breathe out, we draw the knee back. So you focus on opening out through the hip. And then once you've done eight of those, we hold the knee back in that hip extension and we lift and lower the leg there. And as the leg's lifting and lower, make sure the knee and the ankle stay on the same plane, because often what happens is the knee will lift higher than the ankle, which means they're just rolling out. So really think about keeping that position of the knee and the ankle level, and also make sure that the bottom knee, the supporting knee, stays slightly pressing down into the floor to really ensure that they stay in that lovely stable position. Obviously, we then do that on both sides, and then we come onto our thigh stretch prep. So again, we're holding the weighted balls out in front of us and we're kneeling up, really looking at that lovely elongation through the whole body. Then what we're going to do is we're going to hinge back. So we send the tailbone back and send the hips back over the heels, but don't touch down, and just hold there. Really nice flat back. And then we press up and really focus on pressing up out of the back of the hips to come back to kneeling up. So you fold at the hips and kneel back, but don't quite touch down, and then push and come back up. Okay, and what we can do is, as we come back up, we can lift the weighted balls up to the ceiling, and as we hinge back, we lower them and we come back up and lift them back up. The second part of that exercise is you just hold in that hover position and take the weighted balls into a tricep extension. Okay, from there we bring ourselves down onto our fronts, and as I said before, you may want to put a pillow under the ribs, or make sure you've got nice thick mats, just to ensure that we don't suffer anything from being in that position. Have the forehead resting onto the hands, and again, if you wanted to, you could put the weighted ball behind the knee. And what you're going to do is draw the right knee up. Thigh bone stays still for the moment, and you bring the sole of the foot up towards the ceiling. So bend the knee, so again it comes to that 90 degrees. Then, thinking about coming out of the front of the hip, you're going to press that heel up towards the ceiling and lower it back down. And we just press up and try and do this using hip extension, obviously, rather than lumbar spine extension. So really think about trying to reach out of the front of the hip to float the thigh bone up. So you may need to bring your cueing into the thigh bone movement rather than the foot movement. You just decide what you need to do for your clients. From there, we can then take it into our single leg kicks. So instead of pushing the thigh up, lengthen the leg long so it hovers off the floor. And then how far can you kick the heel in without the thigh bone touching down onto the mat and without the low back coming into it? And then finally, just hover both legs up and just little kicks for our swimming leg kicks. From there, keeping the spine as flat as possible. So you need to almost think about sticking the tailbone up a little, sit that back into our sort of rest position, but with a flat back. So you almost have to imagine that you keep the tailbone high. And they may not sit all the way back. They just bring it to where they can keep the arms outstretched and that real sense of length, real sense of almost pulling the pelvis away from the rib cage. We then come into leg pull front. So coming onto all fours, okay, hands underneath the shoulders, knees underneath the hips, legs together, curl the toes under, and we hover the knees up just an inch off the floor. And then holding that position, if you want, you just tap one knee and then tap the other knee. And there'll be a slight shift in the pelvis, but it's all about keeping that lift and that space out of the chest, the shoulder placement, and really thinking about, you know, keeping that lovely long line and that isometric contraction through the whole center. From there, we come into spine twists, and it's just your regular spine twist. You can add the weighted balls in or not, but just watch that their rotation stays really, really centered. So a really nice cue to help you do that is arms can come out to the sides and then get them to think about the shoulder blades. Okay, so bring their attention to the back of the body, the two shoulder blades. And then as they twist to the left, they imagine that they press the spine around with the left shoulder blade. So almost like the shoulder blade is like a paddle. And you're just pressing that paddle round to take the spine round. And hopefully you'll find that will keep them very controlled and very centered. We then come into leg pull, so you take the arms behind, fingertips hopefully facing towards the feet, or you can spin the hands out. Have the knees bent, and again, this really is a hip hinge. So this is to really help people understand hip extension rather than taking it into spinal extension all the time. So this is also a great sort of plan for back pain patients, actually, because it really helps you understand what movement we should have at the hips. And then what we're going to do is, as we breathe out, we press the hips up, and we fold them back to lower back down. And then obviously, again, once you're up in that leg pull prep position, you can lift the toes again. So rather than lifting the heel, we're lifting the toes up, and that will really encourage awareness of the back line of the body. And then if you want, you can take it all the way up into knee lifts, up to you. Then finally, we're going to finish up with some standing work. So we come up to standing, again holding the weights, and we bring ourselves into a standing lunge position. So this is where you're going to take the right foot forwards, the left foot stays back, and then bend the front leg. Try and keep your back heel down, and you may want to just bring the feet apart slightly, a little bit wider than sit bones apart, depending on the balance of the client. And then what you do is you lean forward. So I've got a really nice long diagonal line from my back heel all the way up through the back of the body. So the eye line drops down slightly. Then we're going to take hold of the weights, and I want you to just lift the arms up in front of you so the arms come so that they are in line with the ears. Connect the thumbs and the first, you're holding the weighted balls. So bring the balls together, and then what you do is you bend the elbows and try and bring the balls to the front of the forehead into what we call salute. And then breathing out, you stretch away. So breathing in, we bend in, and really have a sense that the elbows go outwards. So that really helps to extend the shoulders, and then press away. If they have the flexibility, the balls can go to the back of the head. So that really requires quite good shoulder flexibility, and don't let them drop the head forwards. You really want to have a strong line from the back of the head, back of the rib cage, back of the pelvis down to the back of the heel. From there, we come into offering. So still in that lean forwards position, bend the elbows and take the palms up. So you bring the elbows to the sides of the body, palms up, holding onto the balls again. And then we take the arms forwards, out forwards, okay? Lift them up in line with the ears, drop them back down and pull them back in. So the elbows again are by the sides of the body, palms up, we stretch the arms forwards, we lift the arms up in line with the ears, drop them back down and pull them back in. Okay, so a simple form of offering. You can then obviously change sides. And then finally, we're going to finish just focusing into the feet and doing a little bit of standing balance. So bring the feet to parallel. You can hold on the weighted balls still or get rid of them. And you're going to bring it into that tripod focus. So really think about the big toe, the little toe, and the heel. And you're going to keep pressure into those three points as they're standing. So you almost want as well the weight of the body to slightly go to the outside of the foot. Then holding that and watch their feet, make sure their big toe, little toe constantly stay in contact. We come into releve. So you lift up onto the toes and lower back down. Okay, you lift up onto the toes and lower back down, say 8 times. And then we're going to come into running. So we're going to drop the left heel down, right heel stays up, and then we switch. And then we switch, okay? So ripple, so doing 1 foot at a time, really. It's called running. And then we're going to, again, from there, come all the way up again, okay? And, oh, sorry, I went wrong then. So for my running, I do apologize. So we've done releve, lifting up and lowering it back down. We're then going to lift ourselves all the way up. So you're all the way up in releve. Drop the right heel down and lift all the way up. Drop the left heel down and lift all the way up. So you're always returning to the foot being all the way up into onto the toes, challenging their balance there. I mean, a simpler version is the first level I said, where you come from both feet down and you lift up onto one toe. So that would be an easier version. But holding them up in releve and just dropping one heel down is the highest level. So I hope that last bit made sense. But as always, please ask me any questions because I can always explain things a little bit more or give you a little video. So I hope you enjoyed that.